It's time for conversations about our food and how it's grown on Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.
We say over and over again that farm to table is all over the country, and it's in the middle of the country, too. I'm right on the Kentucky side of the Ohio River across from Cincinnati, and I'm delighted to talk today to a person who is in charge of the Ohio Valley Food Connection and has had Elise Chalmers. Elise, you've had vision of farm to table, sounds to me like even before it was fashionable. Everybody's doing it now, but how long have you been into farm to table?
That's a good question. I started getting interested in the, basically, the profitability of farmers back in 2007. I have a business background, and this was in the Chesapeake Bay area, so the other side of the country, and realized, got some money to put together a study to say, how can we help these farmers around here in the northern Baltimore County near the Pennsylvania border be more profitable? And one of the missing links was the logistics that comes to, you have wonderful producers, but how do you get them to the buyers? And vice versa, how do you get buyers to more conveniently buy local? So that's what I did on the East Coast, is basically prove that there was a need. And I was at the time executive director of Future Harvest CASA, Chesapeake Alliance for Sustainable Agriculture, which is a more of a nonprofit that helps do education and research on sustainable agriculture. So our role was promoting local food, not necessarily being an executor within that chain, that local food supply chain. But when I came here to Cincinnati, I realized this need was the same, and I decided rather than just continuing to do nonprofit work, which frustrated me because you were not in the middle of things, you were just supporting those that were doing it, to be in the middle of things, put my money where my mouth is, and actually help move local product. So that's why we created Ohio Valley Food Connection in 2015. So it's actually, we celebrated on June 18th, our third year of business.
Oh, congratulations. So in the past, as you were transitioning here, you were involved, you said, like a nonprofit, but you were trying to help farmers because they weren't making enough money. And there are farmers that I keep seeing that are following their dreams and saying, you know, if I could really be happy, I would farm. They may have gotten an education for something else, may have a good job somewhere else, but they find it's kind of, you know, sucking their soul dry, you know, and it's not working for them. But then they get out there, and then they find out it's about marketing. And even though you're out following your dream, if you can't put it together and supply restaurants or local stores or whatever, you know, you're out of luck. It's pretty hard. So you saw that need, and you hadn't started doing that yet when you were in the East Coast, not until
no.
You got here.
And a part of it is there wasn't the technological infrastructure to do it, right? When I started this, it was myself and a couple of interns, school, you know, college students, and you're immediately faced with, you know, a 100, 200 transactions every delivery period. You can't do that alone or with an Excel spreadsheet, or you're at risk of making a lot of mistakes. You're dealing with, you know, multiple suppliers, multiple buyers. So Local Food Hub software is a big part of what makes this work. So both, it's both an interface for the buying, so buyers, restaurants, chefs can conveniently see what's available at any point in time.
Elise, Ohio Valley Food Connection. So you're a food hub. Is that the best way to describe it? You know, hubs, they just started talking about hubs, what, maybe 10 years ago or so. There's some hubs, you know, starting to come up, and it's filling this gap. I don't know what they ever called them before, hubs, or regular markets or something, but now they're hubs. And you were saying that technology is helping you do that job.
Yes.
So there's an app for running a hub?
Yeah, there's technology. We use a software called Local Orbit. There's another one called Local Food Marketplace. All of them have their pluses and minuses, like any software, right? There's no perfect software unless you make it customized. But what that does, one, it enables, as opposed to maybe more traditional distributor software like a U.S. Foods would have, et cetera, it connects directly the information from the farm to the information of the buyer. So the farmer is aware of where we sell the product. They control that. They control the price. They control everything. That gives them much more of an empowerment over where their food goes. So we're not taking anything away from them, from this direct relationship they have, hopefully we're making it easier. And on the buyer side, of course, very important, the buyer knows exactly, they're buying more from a farm than they are from us. We are the enabler, we are the facilitator. That's what we're, connection is in our name.
Yeah.
But when you, when they go on the website as an, you know, I call it an Amazon.com for local food, they buy from Mount Pleasant Acres, from that guy's family farm, et cetera, et cetera. And then we have it all on one invoice. So we have the convenience of buying from these 70 plus farms, all on one invoice, one app, one delivery. So you don't have to manage all these different relationships with all these different farmers. We're doing that with
That's exciting. You know, I took an Uber over here to your office in Covington, actually Newport, I guess, right across the river from Cincinnati. And I haven't checked yet, but they'll give me a chance to rate the driver, you know, up to 5 stars and make any comments if I want to, and then I give a tip. But does this kind of software, can you kind of rate the farms? If somebody's getting, you know, really happy with it, are they able to say, I'm giving them 5 stars like I gave my Uber driver?
I would love that. That would be great. We see, no, it's indirect in the sense that we see buyers gravitate more towards certain farms that they've just learned to like. And in our app, you can search by product. You can search by region. You can search by farm. So someone could say, I'm only going to buy from these 3 farms because I just love working with them. So it's, you've got that kind of facility, but we do not have that feedback loop of being able to rate, which would be great.
Let you and I get this one started sometime. So right now, you are in between trying to match up growers and people that want to buy. On the people that want to buy side, are they pretty much all restaurants, or does it include some supermarkets or stores too?
So all of the above. We started with restaurants because we felt a lot of chefs were already aware of the of what they could get with local quality, fresh, and especially harvested to order. This is what's really great for the farmer, is that they don't have to harvest, go to the farmer's market, and pray that it's going to get sold. It can stay in the ground, and they only have to harvest for an order. So it's pre-sold before they harvest, which is a wonderful in terms of waste, in terms of, you know, profitability. And on the buyer side, same thing. When they buy local from us, they get something that was in the ground 24 hours before. So restaurants were our first market. And we then went into grocery stores, very few independent grocery stores. We don't do Whole Foods. We really haven't tried to do Whole Foods. But Dorothy Lane Market, which is a very, if you are in this region, you should go visit, extremely faithful to their local suppliers, very much trying also to connect their households to local farms. And then we also started, we got a USDA grant to start selling to institutions, schools. Actually, one of our schools was a pioneer, the Dayton Independent Schools. This is Dayton, Kentucky, right? And they were the first to start working with us. And they got an award from Green Umbrella, which is the sustainable alliance here in the Cincinnati region. So schools are now buying from us. Food service companies, Sage, who else? AVI, these are regional food service companies for cafeterias, for employees in cafeterias. So it's really across the spectrum. And I should not forget to say that we also sell to households. We have about 1,200 households that buy from us. It's the same, absolutely the same app. It's a different portal, you know, a different visual.
So it's like a CSA.
It's not really like a CSA. It's very different from a CSA because it's more like an Amazon.com for your fresh. It's more like an Amazon Fresh, but it's all local. So you, in a CSA, you're kind of on a subscription system, and you pay up front or you pay along the line. Here, you can be a buyer and decide not to buy for 2 months and then buy a carrot. You have no minimums, no commitment. You just put your credit card, and when you decide to buy your local groceries, you go to us. So it's again, our goal is not to compete with CSAs, not to compete with farmers market, to be an alternative form for local food, an alternative outlet. And again, we want to make local food buying mainstream, not this minority thing. We want to make it as easy as buying from Kroger or anyone else by having this online store and then delivering.
So let's talk about the farmer side of this. So how do you identify farmers that you're either trying to recruit or get signed up? And how far afield are you willing to pull them in and still count them as local?
Good question. We started with about 14 anchor farms, and we do farm visits. Our main, we don't necessarily only do organic. Most of our farmers just select to be organically, to practice organically or sustainably. Our big thing is transparency. You can be a conventional farmer. We just want you to say what you do. So on the app, as a buyer, you can decide, oh, I'm only going to buy from the organic farmers. But what our requirement is that you be completely transparent on your practices. So that's the first thing. And then we go and visit and make sure that when we go see someone that says he's certified organic, I don't see barrels of pesticides on this in behind the garage. The other thing is farmers that are willing to meet our deadline. So it is kind of tight. You have to put orders come in by 6 a.m. Monday morning, and we need the product in by Monday 4:30. So you have to harvest to order, pack, and deliver. We also provide a service of pickup. So right now I have two trucks out, one going north, one going south, who will meet about a half a dozen farmers each. And that has two advantages. For one, it enables us to increase the range a little bit to about 100 miles around Cincinnati. And two, it's a service to our farmers. Our goal is for them to be able to produce more, to make more money. If we can take that travel time out of their schedule, then that's a benefit to us as well.
You know, I used to be in the Midwest. I've lived in Indiana and Illinois and Iowa and grew up in Illinois. So I know something about seasonality because I'm in California now. We've been in California several years. So that's always been the issue is seasonality. So I'm wondering, do you draw any from hydroponics to fill in when it's more difficult to grow here?
Absolutely. We've got, I think, three or four hydroponic growers we work with year-round. We also have a lot of farms that do season extension. So our farmers are diversified vegetable farmers, often have storage crops over the winter. So they may not be doing their lettuces anymore with us, but they'll be doing their carrots and their beets and their sweet potatoes and continue to sell throughout March. Probably the worst month of the year is April because you're out of the storage crops. And then you don't have your spring crops anymore. That's probably the toughest month for everybody. We also do meat. That's year round.
Really?
We do dairy. We have milk year round. A local dairy, dairyman that does low heat pasteurized non-homogenized milk that is absolutely to die for. He's in Jamestown, Ohio, Swallow Hill, Jersey Dairy. So I mean, we have cheese. So we have other products in the winter that continue to keep us going and continue to be attractive to the crowd, the locavores.
So I can see where you're connecting. You're in this important middle spot between people consuming or selling to people to consume and the growers. How the economics of that work? I mean, if somebody places an order, do you have to pay the farmer when you get paid by the restaurant, or I mean, that's going to be tricky.
That is very tricky. It's not. I didn't go into this to become a multimillionaire. I'm at a point now where I can get a fair wage to my workers. Myself, I'm not being paid very much yet. But we broke even last year. We got help from a few grants. The way it works is we pay the farmer basically what they ask. We don't feel that any of the farmers are ever also on their own building McMansions off of this model. So we feel like the farmer is the best able to set a price. So we do very little negotiation.
Right.
And then we put a markup on that for our services. So basically, the markup goes anywhere between 15 and we're very transparent about it, between 15 and 23% at the most.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very reasonable, it's actually a margin, not a markup.
I think that local markets you sell to would be better to sell to than if you were large enough to hit big corporate operations, because some of them I keep hearing they're wanting like 60 days before they ever pay their bills, or you know, longer terms.
Oh, and by the way, we pay our farmer whether we get paid or not, so we take that float risk, and that is a problem. And you're right, the bigger the buyer, usually the slower the payer. So I have got some wonderful small independently owned restaurants, and they pay COD, which really, you know, I'm very grateful for.
So when you're in this kind of a role and you're a hub and you're providing this link, and a really important link too, are you seeing this happening all over the country now? I mean, I hear different reports, but I'm wondering if you have peers that you're able to interact with, and you're finding out, well, you know, somebody in Nashville or somebody here, they're doing a hub, and you get some ideas and you can exchange ideas how can you do a better job running this operation?
There's actually a association, the National Good Food Network, you should look them up, part of the Wallace International Organization, and they put on a conference for food hubs every 2 years, I think it is. And there, I think the last one I went to, there were 400 food hubs.
Well, you are very, very busy, and I appreciate your taking the time to visit with me. Let me ask you just a couple more questions, though. You're in this journey, and you've been doing this a few years now, getting this up and running, and you're seeing it happen all over the country. What do you feel kind of most enthused about? If you look down the road this next couple of years, what is it that gives you the most encouragement?
It's that the larger buyers are starting to be interested in it, whether it's the large distributors, the food service companies, because that those types of volumes can really change local agriculture. It will enable to be able to secure a market like, you know, a large corporation, let's say, you know, U.S. Bank. If U.S. Bank's cafeteria decided to do this, we could really put a lot more of our, nothing against corn and soybean, but more of that land into vegetable production, food production, increasing the food security of the region, increasing the economics of the region, because you do get a good yield per acre in those mm-hmm. crops, mm-hmm. And increasing the freshness and the quality of the food that the individuals in this region can get, the community gets. So I'm encouraged by seeing the larger buyers have an interest in that and understanding season. But they have to, you know, there's an education process that goes with that. They have to understand they may not be able to get tomatoes year-round locally, but at least if they start to get tomatoes from July to October locally, that makes a huge difference for the local farmer. What is, to me, and to these buyers, a small percentage of their budget going to local is a huge percentage of money going to local farms.
Do you ever coach the farms on how they can do maybe a better job of telling their story, what their production practices, and how they can put their best face forward?
We help them. We coach them sometimes on how they list their products, making sure that they have a picture, saying that the name and something special about the variety counts. They're usually pretty good about telling their story. I wouldn't say that we are coaching them, but we definitely give them input based on the experience that we have with others.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I got to tell you one more quick thing. I'm going to tell you that because before I came here, I actually stopped and had lunch at the Hotel Covington and ordered a cauliflower sandwich that was just fantastic. And then the general manager came over and started talking to me. And then the guy, somebody else in the kitchen and some others came over and we started talking. And they brought the Ohio Valley Food Connection up. And I should turn the recorder on because you were getting a commercial there that they were really raving about working with you and how they really pride themselves in their hotels of, you know, getting the sourcing. So that must make you feel good.
That is great. And they're wonderful. It's wonderful they're making an effort to go outside of their usual routine to buy local through us. So we very much appreciate it. I just want to say, because you mentioned Ohio Valley Food Connection, that is our original name and our brand here. But we also sell in Lexington and Louisville under the brand Bluegrass Food Connection. It's the same. We just deliver on different days. And we try to concentrate more of the Kentucky farmers to sell there, because Kentucky does a lot to promote their farmers. So just for your audience, know that there's Ohio Valley Food Connection and Bluegrass Food Connection.
And if say there's farmers and they want to know more about how they might be able to work with your organization, how do they find you?
So we have a website, ohiovalleyfood.com. There's a inquiry page. You can put your inquiry in there, and then we just send you a form to find out a little bit more about you and then set up appointments.
Okay. And then one final one. If somebody wants to be a customer of yours, if they're like a Hotel Covington and they decide they want to connect and have that local source, do they go to the same site?
They do. There's actually a way, there's a a page for households, a page for restaurants and chefs, and a page for farmers.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it's exciting what you're doing. And what makes me excited, too, is that I can go not only to the Cincinnati area, but across the country. And we see people that are building these models. And even though you have an association now, what also strikes me is that all of them have to start off almost with a clean slate because they have to figure out what works for them locally. And you get farmers now that are in business that maybe weren't a few years ago, or they were just doing commodity crops, and now they're able to become more specialty crop producers.
If I may say, if you're visiting here in Cincinnati, the other thing you can do going on our website is to visit all the restaurants that buy local. They are on the website. We put their logos up front because we want to honor and celebrate all these chefs that are making the leap and buying local.
Well, you know what? I think we're indebted to you, Elise Chalmers, for what you're doing with your program here. And I think the people in this community are getting a lot from it. Certainly the farmers are. And people across the country are exploring this new way of connecting farmers and with the local foods they want to enjoy. So I want to thank you for being on Farm to Table Talk.
Thank you very much. I look forward to hearing it.
You've been listening to Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson. If you like what you hear, go to farmtotabletalk.com or go to iTunes to subscribe and give us a review and a rating. Thanks for listening to Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.